Hey guys, welcome back to another week of Autastic, your comedian's guide to autism. I'm one of your hosts, Kirk Smith, and this is my co-host, the venerable Graham K.
Hey, what's up, everybody? What's venerable mean? Does it mean like revered? I don't know what it means. I hear people say that. I only hear that word in intros.
I don't know what that means. But it probably would have been good for me to know what it means before I used it. No, I think it has to do with respect, especially like if you're old and like wise. Yeah. Like an old wise man. So yeah.
Yeah. Just an old wise 35-year-old guy. Both staying at his parents' house right now.
But you have your own entrance, so it's totally cool.
No. I enter through the garage just like the dog.
Guys, this is your comedian's guide to autism. This is not science. This is just two friends who have autistic loved ones in their lives, and we just talk, basically.
Yep. Kirk's son is autistic. His 18-year-old son, severely autistic. My 33-year-old younger brother is regular autistic.
run of the mill autistic.
Yeah.
So you're saying
classic.
Just the classic version. Autistic. I love it.
Yeah.
So you were saying off the air that you you drove 8 hours through the snow yesterday, and it's not a metaphor, huh?
Yeah, I'm doing all these. My green card is delayed, so I'm in Canada just working because I got nothing else to do. Just doing stand up shows around Canada. Well, my green card gets figured out, and so I'm using my parents' house as a home base, and I'm driving all over the place, and it's like the middle of winter, and it's like crazy. I was in London, Ontario, which is like a six and a half hour drive, from Ottawa, and I was there all weekend, and then I drove back to Ottawa. In a complete blizzard. I mean, I should have just pulled over and got a hotel. I was going like 40 miles an hour most of the time, 30 miles an hour, like whiteout blizzard. Cars were in the ditch to my left and to my right.
Did you have?
It was nuts. It took me almost 10 hours.
Did you have snow tires, or how'd that work?
Oh, yeah. If I didn't have snow tires, I'd be dead. Yeah. I'd for sure be dead.
I think
I just went slow and listened to a bunch of podcasts and, you know.
One of my great-grandparents on my mom's side, had some family from London, Ontario. I know that. It's kind of by Michigan, kind of by Detroit, if I remember right.
Oh, yeah. It's like an hour outside Detroit.
Yeah. Huh. That's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. So, grinding it out,
yeah, huh? Mm-hmm.
Grinding it out.
Yep, working all the time. It's good. I'm going to the East Coast on Thursday, so that'll be fun. That's I'll be 3 weeks out on the East Coast of Canada doing shows.
A little yuck yucks.
So
out
if any of our listeners live on the East Coast, I'll be in St. John, New Brunswick, or I'm going to be in Halifax for a couple weeks at Yuck Yucks. Check the website yuckyucks.com. Or if you want to take a ferry from Maine, go ahead.
I don't know if you're being serious or not. Is there a ferry from Maine? I guess there probably is, huh?
Yeah, there for sure is. It saves you like 5 hours driving.
That's awesome.
I think you can drive to St. John's from Maine in like 40 minutes or half an hour or something. It's pretty close.
Huh. Did you get to see, I was going to ask you, did you get to see Pete at all this last few weeks?
I got to see Pete. Yeah, we went bowling. One of the good things about being back home unexpectedly is I get to spend more brother time. We call it brother time. And it's important. You know, he like looks up to me and stuff. So, and I look up to him in a lot of ways. And anyway, we're pals, so whatever. It's good to see him. Also, he doesn't have a lot of people around his age that he hangs out with. So that's good as well. And
that's great, man.
And then we went bowling. We had dinner after. We hung out a couple times also, but that was like the event we did. And he you know, it was like classic. It, every time I hang out with them, it reminds me of when, like, being a teenager, being like 12, and having an autistic brother. You know, you go in public, and so the whole bowling alley is empty, except for a young, good-looking couple on a date, and I go check in, and I'm like, okay, I hope we're far away from that couple. Because I know Peter is going to look at her and he's going to want to talk to her and talk to them, and he's not going to let leave them alone. And so we go, okay. I check in and I go, and then she goes, you'll be in, they're in lane 11. And they go, you'll be lane 10. I'm like, what? And they're like, yeah, we got to reserve all those other lanes because we got a league coming in. I'm like, damn it. So I'm like, of course, the league didn't come in the entire time we were there. We played two games, and we're walking up. I'm like, Peter, now remember to give them their space. That's like our code word, you know.
Right.
Don't talk so much. Give them their space, because he's gotten in trouble in the past from not giving women their space.
Right.
And not in a malicious way. Nothing weird or anything like that. Just, you know, just being a just being a chatty guy,
right.
You know? Yeah. And so you were sitting, he's like, okay, no problem. I'm going to give them their space. So don't talk to them. Okay, Peter. He's like, I won't. Don't worry. Jeez, I won't. You know, he's getting angry. I'm like, okay. So I back off, because I'm trying to have a good time. I'm here to have a good time, not to lecture him, you know?
Yep.
And, we sit down, and then sure enough, after like I go to shoot my ball or whatever you call it, and then I hear like, so is this your boyfriend? I'm like, oh god. And they figured it out, but first thing that comes up, no, he didn't say, is this your boyfriend? The first thing that he said is, can we join you? And I'm like, and then the guy's like, what?
Perfect.
The guy's like, no, we're gonna play by ourselves. He's like, okay. And then I like, oh shoot. And he goes, so is this your boyfriend? And I'm like, oh boy, you know. And then it's always that game of like, are they gonna figure out themselves that he's autistic, or is he gonna punch my brother, or how long will it take? And they usually figure out after a couple sentences,
right?
You know. And then it's okay, and then they're really nice. But also, people always go through a phase, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners know this phase of watching your loved one, your kid, or whatever, interact with somebody else. Like they go through like a first phase of like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then the second phase is, oh, I get it. They're disabled. They're you know. Right. Developmentally delayed or whatever, and then they figure it out, and they're very amiable, and then congenial, and then they get bored, and they're like, and then they're like,
phase
okay,
four,
done.
They've had enough. They're like,
I'm trying
okay,
to have
I
a date
it.
With my girlfriend. Yeah. I'm done being nice. God, he talks a lot. God, it must be exhausting living with him. Like you can just see it all on their face. You know, and then you're like, okay, Pete, let's go. You try and move them along, you know, tell that they're done. And it ended up being fine. But, I mean, like, we played her two games, and it was, you know, mostly hilarious and mostly great.
I think you're jumping one of the things. I saw your Facebook point, I think, post. I think he beat you at bowling.
He beat me twice. We played two games, he beat me twice.
And I saw the scores, too, like 130 or something. He can bowl a little bit, this guy.
He can bowl a little bit. He can bowl. He's not bad. And no. Then I didn't play poorly myself, you know. He beat me both games. The second game was worse than before. I was like, wow, he actually beat me the first game. You know, he beat me like 130 to 128 or something. And I was like, I wasn't even trying to let him win.
Yeah.
And then the second game, he like beat me by like 20 points or something. It was like a massacre. So
that's great. He looked happy.
Yeah. He was really happy. And then I got him out of there, and he kept being like, "Well, I hope you guys don't break up."
But if you do, here's my
number. Last thing he said. Yeah. And then we went to a pub next door to get dinner and a beer. And then that couple walked in, and then they saw us, and then tried to not be seen, and then left. Peter's like, "Why are they going?" I'm like, "Oh, they probably just didn't want to have a be." They probably wanted to try something new.
So they were not hungry. Well, that's great, dude. I love it.
Yeah, it was fun. It's fun.
I got back from Australia. My weekend review is I did 3 weeks in Australia. And
you've had a big couple weeks.
Yeah, I tried, did a little tour. I guess it's a tour. I don't know. Perth. And
it's for sure a tour. We haven't talked. I have no idea what happened. How was it?
It was good. It was, I did more of a one-man show out in Perth. And
yes.
And then in Sydney, I just did a regular stand-up, hosted some shows, headlined
some shows. But the one-man show, let's talk about that. The one-man show is about autism.
Yeah, I did a one-man show about autism, and it's structured like around 7 things you may or may not know about autism.
And it's comedy. It's not just stand-up.
Stand-up, yeah. It's just stand up.
Yeah, it's a funny one man show with a theme of autism, and you've done this a version of this one man show. I'm sure you've tweaked it since for autism organizations and stuff, and you've done really well. But you always get crazy reviews, and people want you back and stuff. It's awesome.
Yeah, I keep modifying it, improving it little by little, and so it's slightly different than I've done over the years. But and I did it at the Edinburgh Fringe last year, and I'll probably
which is the biggest
year.
Fringe festival in the world.
That's the big one, yeah. And I'll probably take it to Melbourne next year. I talked to those people. It was good, It's I was flyering for my own show, which is always super exciting, and I had somebody say like, "Oh, is this going to be sad?" And so they had to be like, "No, this is a stand-up comedy show. This will be 100% funny." So, and hopefully insightful, and maybe you'll learn something, but it's definitely humor. It's just humor stand-up. So it was good. And then it was good. I partnered with the big 5 big autism organizations out in Perth. It was like the Autism Association of Western Australia, Autism West, CalPERS, CARERS, and Therapy Focus, and it was just a great time. Sometimes it's encouraging when you feel like the things you want to do in life allow you to contribute something. It all kind of lines up. You know what I mean?
Well, man, it's the best feeling in the world.
So it was a really fun experience and encouraging, and it didn't hurt to make a little money. My landlord's happy. I paid my rent. So,
wow.
So it was good.
Really pulling back the curtain there. Yeah.
Just jokes, man. Just jokes. Yeah, it was interesting experience. I had a couple of unusual things happen. I had first night I did it at the Balmoral Hotel, and I had a group of about 7 people, and the parents had brought their autistic son, who's about 35, and his siblings and the siblings' spouses. So it's about 7 people. And so, it's a show. It's not specifically designed for autistic people. It's not like, this is just a show. It's just a stand-up show. So it's, like maybe carers or family or, obviously all people are welcome, but I don't specifically have jokes. Autistic people. So, but it was cool. The guy's about 6'2". He sat in the front row, right. There's a aisle down the middle of the room. And so to exit, and he sat right there, prime center, front row. I'm like, okay. So, doing the show, if I can honestly, humbly say, I was having a great set. I did about 25 minutes, 30 minutes. And then, he stands up. And the stage is about 6 inches tall. So when he stands up, everybody can see him because he's my size, and goes, "I've got to go to the bathroom." And so then I say, You know, there's only, there's 100 people in the room. It's a small room. And so then I say, okay, yeah, go ahead, man. You can, yeah, obviously go to the bathroom, do what you got to do. So then he, you know, makes his way out to the bathroom and you keep plugging away, keep doing the jokes. And, but the crowd totally got it, you know, cause by then I've done 25 minutes on, you know, what my life's like. And so they thought it's hilarious. So then he comes back and then I do a joke about cake. And then he audibly says in a lull, I want cake. And so, you know, so he gets a big laugh, obviously. I think the crowd at first thinks I've like planted this guy. And then
It's amazing. That's amazing.
I do another, probably another 5 minutes, 8 minutes. And then he goes, he doesn't have cake, does he? You know, he's talking to his like sister, but it's like, there's only 100 people. It's a little room, you know, so like, it's funny.
Yeah.
And then about 45 minutes in, he goes, and listen, dude, I'm telling you honestly, I'm honestly killing. I'm having a great set. Like, you know how it is.
Yeah.
I tell you the truth. Sometimes it doesn't go great, but this time it was going great. And he goes about 45 minutes in, leans over to his sister and goes, when's this going to end? It's pretty funny.
That's really funny.
It's pretty damn funny. When is this going to end? And then I was just talking to the guy. Cause like, I was like, listen, man, this isn't class. You know, if you want to go, that's totally fine. You're not going to hurt my feelings. And no, I just want to know when it's going to end. And I said like 10 minutes, man, 10 minutes. And so, that was funny.
That's really funny.
I had another show. So I teamed up with, this is like a Tuesday show. So I teamed up with all these organizations. And so like, I had a lot of, they brought big, one of the shows, they brought a big group of like carers, brought their people that they're taking care of. And so, so I was like, how's this going to go? You know, I've never done a group where like a third are on the spectrum and then we had some Down syndrome people and it was going great. You know, it is, I've done this a few years now. So you've got your tricks and your bits and you know what you're doing. The last bit, I had a guy in the front who, and one of my points is like, you can't always tell someone's autistic just by looking at them. And I do these jokes about my son, how you can't tell, but I couldn't tell this guy was autistic. He just, you know, he's not saying much. He's laughing all the right places and he's dressed, you know, clothes are often a giveaway and he's dressed like, you know, I couldn't tell from the clothes, dressed just, you know, jeans and t-shirts and stuff. And, he's had like a total meltdown right during the closer. And it was loud. And then I was just like, well, and I laughed, you know, because there's nothing I could do. And I was like, well, that's the, you know, so the last joke didn't work, obviously, because he's in the front row just having an absolute meltdown. And then I was like, well, that's a show. And, you know, come say hi. He's still screaming. Come say hi. This is just, you know, don't freak out. This is just how life is. But the crowd totally got it. I don't think I give people enough credit. The crowd totally got it.
Yeah.
And, I bought a ton of books that night, which means, not that's a big deal, but that just means they understood. They're like, yeah, that's nothing. Yeah, that's part of what happens. That's not. And so it was two very, very unusual things that have never happened to me before. Yeah.
That's amazing, dude. I love that the audience became part of the act, but in an organic way, and it had to do with the subject.
Right.
That never happens.
That's weird, right?
And then the audience knows that it's like, it's a real taking down the wall and also becoming part of the show. That's pretty neat. I like that a lot.
One of the weirdest things about stand-up is if you feel uncomfortable as the performer, the audience gets uncomfortable, but like if you're in it and you're fine, they figure you're fine, so we're fine, it's going to be fine. You know what I mean?
Totally.
And so 100%. Like, so if you're fine,
that's one of the
main
things that...
Go ahead, buddy. Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I was going to say it's one of the main things that young comics have to learn to do is, or any public speaker. If you have any presentation to make it work, if you're just in control, if you feel confident, then it'll go well.
Right.
There's no way it can't go well.
So it was...
stay in that pocket.
Just stay in the pocket and yeah, don't panic. It's going to work out. But I've never had somebody. Oh, that was another thing. The first story, the guy went to the bathroom a few times.
Yeah.
So it was You know, and you're just like, there's, it's the size of the place. There's no way, you know, he's in the front row. And so there's no way like the audience can't see him. But they were with it. They're with it. And, yeah, what are you gonna do? It was good. It was really good. Really, really good. So yeah, that was, Australia was good. Oh, I forgot to tell you this too. And my son has taken to saying, he likes to quote different movies like a lot of kids with autism do. And his latest one is if he, if he's tired of the situation or tired of talking to you, he says, good day to you. And then walks out.
What a gentleman.
He says, good day to you. And then takes his hands out of his pants and leaves. So he's doing good. He's got, he's learned to skate. They had to order some special ice skates for him. These extra wide ice skates. And yeah, they took him skating and he wouldn't
get off. They're just called skates.
Yeah, I guess so. In California, you have to make that distinction, but everywhere else it's just skates. You're right. And
it's just skates. Everything else has something else on top of it.
Fair enough. That makes sense.
You know?
Because skates were first?
Yeah, just skates.
And
you know?
Yeah, it was time to go. He wouldn't get off the ice. So it's Sweden, so everybody's, you know, very patient with him. And so someone had to stay with him an extra hour to ice skate. So, to skate. So, yeah, he's getting his little, as long as he gets some exercise. So.
That's great. That's awesome. It's good to do a bunch of other, you know, bunch of stuff that keeps you active and social as well. Which sort of seamlessly segues into our In the News.
This week in the news, man, we're such pros. This is on NPR, National Public Radio, from Indiana Station, using improv to help kids with autism show and read real emotion. Basically, it says it can be difficult to socialize and make friends for many children with autism, my son included. Often that's because reading body language and others' emotions doesn't always come easily. Many of us seem to learn these social skills naturally, but there's a way to teach them. And it talks about, basically, they're teaching these kids, 6 to 8, they're teaching them improv, and they do the warm-up, and then they do basically like scenes from a hat. Think of it as a kid-friendly version of the segment Scenes from a Hat from the TV show Whose Line Is It Anyway? And sometimes the kids guess the emotion right away, but it can get tricky, especially when the sentences don't express an obvious emotion. Like, it's over, says Jake, who's 8, waiting for the other kids to guess his emotion. Sad, someone says. No. Scared, no. Happy, yes. Oh, sorry, that was funny to me. Yay, it's over. Like, you talking about a relationship? What are you talking about, buddy? Anyway, that's really interesting.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's the type of thing that I wonder if my brother could benefit from if it was available to him. That's the problem with a lot of these things is they're not in every community. But I also wonder if he could do it, to be quite honest. I guess you'd have to see.
I think
interesting to see.
Even him watching it happen might be beneficial to him, you know, where he's like, yeah, you know, like some of these improv games are hard to pick up immediately, but you watch a couple weeks and then that is the one great thing about the podcast. We do get people making suggestions of best practices all over the world. Like, have you tried this? Have you tried this?
Mm-hmm.
And
right,
yeah, I like it. That reminds me, we got some letters. Should we read some letters real quick?
Yeah. Do you think your son would benefit from that?
I don't. I think he's too severe. I don't think he could pull it off. But I'd love for him to if he could, you know, if we could hold his attention for a little bit, for him to watch and see if it's something that. You know, sometimes I think, sometimes I give him too much credit, sometimes too little credit. So I'd be interested in trying it, see how it works.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. I got, we got a really nice note from Shawnee M. She is a ABA therapist who specializes in autism, just got her master's, stumbled upon the podcast, and reminds me of the family perspective and gives me insight. Really nice note. This is from...
Well, that's good.
Dalen S.
Yeah, I was going to say. You don't have to. Just say the...
A really, really nice note here, talking about the sippy cups that you remember in the profile we talked about a little while ago. Trish D sent us a note about basically it's an article about a professor using an audio drama. My friend and colleague, Dr. Will Anderson, is conducting a important research into the audio drama to help kids with autism. So helps if you could help spread the word. So he's looking for funding for that. It's a research project. Yeah, so a lot of great notes this week. A lot of people reached out. And
thank you guys for doing that. Keeps us going.
Yeah, appreciate the encouragement.
I think we did it. I think we did another episode.
This is it. We did it, guys. If you have a second, add us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. My name is Kirk Smith, comedian. This is Graham K., comedy. And a bit of hesitation there. And what else can I tell you guys? Please share our podcast with your friends. The shares really help. And just take a moment to share with a friend. We'd appreciate it. If you have a moment, please rate us on iTunes. The rating helps the little algorithm. I don't understand science, but
donate on Patreon.
Patreon.com/autastic.
Patreon.com/autastic. Give us a buck. Give us $1. We'd love it. Helps us keep up with keeping this going and paying for all the stuff that it takes to do it and all. I don't know. You guys get it. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. You guys are fantastic.
We love you guys. You can do it.